You're listening to audio from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more information about Pleasant Valley, visit our website at pleasantvalley.cc.
A couple of announcements before we jump in. You can go and turn to Matthew 21. That's where we're going to be today, Matthew chapter 21. But first, moms and daughters, you're going to want to mark on your calendar mother-daughter pancakes and painting night coming up on Friday night, March 23rd, 6 o'clock, right here at the church. Great way to spend the evening with your daughter or daughters, doing some fun things together, making memories. So you can text the word pancakes to 69922 to sign up, or you can sign up at the front or back welcome desk. Secondly, really the most historic weekend in Christianity every year is Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday coming up. So Good Friday service on Friday night, March 30, 7 p.m. right here. We'll preach the Word of God about the crucifixion of Christ, and then we'll worship together, observe the Lord's Supper together. So be here for that special evening. And then, of course, Easter is right around the corner on Sunday, April 1st. We've got invite cards on the front table walking out and at the back as well. Grab a handful of those. I want to encourage you to canvass your neighborhood. Our kids did that yesterday where we live and knocked on as many doors as they could and invited people to church. Studies have shown for years that over 80% of unchurched people would go to church if a friend would just ask them. And in particular in the Bible Belt, on a day like Easter, people will come if you'll ask them to come if they don't have a church. So grab those cards, invite people, and let's pray expectantly for God to do really powerful things that day as we preach the gospel. Okay, Matthew chapter 21. This is my favorite sports weekend of the year and has been from the days when I was about five, when my daddy would bring home the Courier Journal, that Louisville newspaper. Back in those days, you couldn't fill out your brackets online. You filled them out with the pen and paper and the newspaper. And as my favorite weekend of the year, March Madness. This Friday night, me and my boys and a friend of ours went down to Nashville and watched several NCAA games. As we were sitting there watching those games, I had all these memories flashing back from my childhood. And I was reminded of a prayer I prayed when I was about 8 or 9 years old. I was out my back driveway where Daddy had my basketball court at 150 Knoll Drive, Katy's, Kentucky, shooting ball all day as long as I could. And I remember at one point I just stopped shooting one day. And I bowed my head and I prayed. And I asked the Lord with all sincerity and faith, I said, "Dear Lord, would you let me grow up, get a scholarship to play ball at the University of Kentucky?" At that time, would have been under Coach Rick Pitino. "And then would you let me go on and play in the NBA for the Boston Celtics?" As my daddy taught me from the day I could breathe to love Larry Bird, and it was my dream to do that. And that was all I really wanted in life, was to be a ball player. I prayed that prayer as a kid. Man, I want you to know, I really believed God was going to answer that prayer. I really did. I was very naive, but I really believed God was going to answer that prayer. And when I said amen to that prayer and I threw up that next shot, it was nothing but net. I was like, "Lord, it's on." I told Mama, "You ain't got to worry about paying for college, scholarship, Daddy. I'm going to be wearing number 33 for the Celtics one day," playing at that time would have been Boston Square Garden. I just knew it was going to happen. I believed. Well, it didn't work out that way. Here I am. Keep that story in mind. And in Matthew 21, we've got one of the most perplexing teachings in all of the New Testament. In the context of Matthew 21, Jesus had just cursed a fig tree, just spoke the word, tree dies on the spot. The disciples were like, "How in the world did that happen?" And Jesus gives them a little sermonette here where he's essentially rebuking them for their lack of faith. And Jesus answered them in verse 21. "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain," I imagine he pointed over to a mountain over in the distance, "as you see that mountain right there, if you say to that mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." Jesus said, whatever you ask in prayer, you'll receive if you had faith. I prayed and had faith that I would play in Rupp Arena and that I'd be number 33 for the Boston Celtics. And I'm not. How do you resonate those two things? Because Jesus said, you pray whatever you will. If you ask in faith, you'll believe. You're like, well, that's an extreme example. Well, maybe you've been battling arthritis for years. You've prayed in faith. Lord, would you heal me of this pain, this discomfort? Maybe the Lord hasn't. And you're so uncomfortable right now, it took all you had to be here this morning. How do you resonate those two things? Because Jesus said, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. I hope we at least can acknowledge the tension here. I want to tell you what this passage doesn't mean and then what it does mean. And then we're going to practice what Jesus preaches. Jesus' point is actually pretty simple. It's that God uses our faith to do really big things. If you can walk away with that, you get the main point of this text. God uses, in many instances, our faith to do really big things, like Matthew 21, curse fig trees. Or the example in verse 21 as well, say to the mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. So this morning, Jesus is calling us to have great faith and to pray bold, courageous, unrestricted, with no seatbelt, mountain-sized prayers. But if that's all we say about this teaching, then it is dangerous and incomplete at best. Because Jesus says in verse 22, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. The first thing we have to see about this verse is that it does not apply to everyone indiscriminately. While God can hear the prayers of everyone, God is not inclined to listen to the prayers of everyone. Now hear me out. We all understand there's a distinction in hearing and listening, is there not? Fellas, when Mama Bear says during the UK game, take the trash out, honey, oh, you heard her, but you ain't listening. You see what I'm saying? Well, in the spiritual realm, unless we approach God through the only pathway to prayer he's created, which is the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the high priest, we cannot enter God's presence, and he is not inclined to listen to what we have to say, because we can't just bust up in the presence of God like we own the place, because God is holy and we are not. We are sinful. We must come to God only through the merit of another man. And that man is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not the Christian way. Jesus is not the Pleasant Valley way. And he sure isn't the American way. Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Jesus Christ is the only way we can go to God in boldness and prayer. And so if we're here this morning and we're not in Christ, and by that I mean you've not repented of your sins and believed in Christ alone for your salvation, you do not have this kind of access to God to pray for just anything. And our greatest need this morning, if we are lost, it's not to be healed of arthritis. Our greatest need is that our souls would be healed and forgiven by the power of the gospel of Christ. Because Jesus said in Matthew 10, don't fear him who can destroy the body, but fear him who destroys both soul and body in hell. And Jesus was referring to himself. But he says in verse 22, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Whatever you do, never build your entire theology and philosophy of ministry based upon one isolated verse. When that happens, heresy happens and false teaching happens. And unfortunately, many have done this with verse 22. the name and promises of God have been twisted and abused by many. After having read this verse, some would suggest that here and in other places, Jesus is teaching that just having faith guarantees God will give us what we ask for. For example, healing. Some would use language of you just name it and claim it. God said it right there. He said whatever you ask, you'll get. If you believe, have faith, ask it, it's yours. Therefore, back to our original example, if you've got arthritis, you pray, and if you believe God will heal you of that arthritis, you will be healed. But the implication of that strict interpretation, the implication is if you pray and believe and you're not healed from arthritis, then either A, Jesus lied, or B, you just don't have enough faith. Most Christians would never say Jesus is a liar, and so there are many Christians that are suffering, and I know many of them, and they just don't seem to be getting better. And they walk around condemned and guilty, thinking, the reason I'm still sick is because I just don't have enough faith. And it's almost like the Lord is punishing them because they just don't believe enough. It was probably 10 years ago. It was downtown Owensboro. And there was a faith healer entitled coming through town. And I caught wind of it and I went for multiple reasons. I wanted to see people healed because I believe God can still heal. But I also just want to see how this thing went down. I was a new pastor in town. Curious. So I went. I'll never forget it. And I don't know. There are probably 60, 80, I don't know, maybe 100 people there. If I remember correctly, it was in the River Park Center. Out in that lobby, I think. And I looked around that room, and man, there were a lot of suffering people in there. And I saw breathing machines, walkers. People were dying. I remember meeting one sweet elderly woman who was dying of cancer and had just been given a short time to live. It's a broken place. And I remember this faith healer, entitled, stood up, started preaching. I remember at one point he looked out among us, and in a prophetic kind of way, he shouted, "Shame on you! Shame on you if you have cancer." What he was implying was, if you have cancer this morning, it's because you just don't have enough faith in God to heal you. And I thought about that sweet little godly woman sitting right beside me. She wouldn't have been there if she didn't have faith. She could barely walk. I was 24 and timid and afraid. Looking back, I wish now I would have stood up and proclaim to everyone there to get the heck out of there and get away from this false teacher. Shame on you, preacher, for condemning faithful men and women of God. There are times in the New Testament where faith is the means God uses to powerfully and radically heal us. But he is not promising that just having enough faith guarantees we will be healed. I thought about my Uncle Jimmy Stallings. Many of you prayed for him several years ago. Uncle Jimmy is with the Lord now. In his early 60s, he was diagnosed with pulmonary fibrosis. And he ended up going to see one of the finest pulmonologists in the country, in St. Louis. And A lung transplant was his only hope. Waited for quite some time. A lung became available, as it were, and he had the transplant. And not long in, his body rejected that new lung. And his body just began to deteriorate even more. And he literally just could not breathe. Going to see him in St. Louis and in other hospitals was one of the most difficult things, because Uncle Jimmy was one of the godliest men I ever knew. If I was half the man he was, I would be a much better man. He was humble. He was godly. He was soft-spoken. He loved his wife, my Aunt Faye. He loved his four boys. He was with the North American Mission Board for a while as a missionary. He was a deacon in his church. He sold cattle and cars. He was honest. He had integrity in his business. He was just lying there dying. One night, my dad and I went to see him, and we were going to pray for him. I had fasted for a day or two and really been prayed up. And we walked into that little hospital room, and I really believed that we were going to pray for my Uncle Jimmy. And I believed he was going to get up out of the bed and walk out and sell him some cattle and an F-150 or two the next morning. I believed that. Not because I was a good man. Not because I thought I had the gift of healing, but I just believed that God could heal. Now, you got to understand, up until this point, thousands of people have been praying for him. So many churches. He had been anointed with oil. Hands had been laid on him. Half y'all in this room that were here at that time had been praying for him. And so I walked in there, man, and I prayed. And when I said amen, I was, all right, Lord, here we go. He's going to get up out of that bed and walk out. When I said amen and I looked at him, he was just lifeless. And he passed just a few days later. Jesus said in verse 22, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. We asked for Uncle Jimmy to be healed, and we have faith, and he was not healed. Or was he? Brothers and sisters, it is not the will of God to heal everyone in this life. So often we get caught up in this temporary body, in this temporary world. And we limit the scope of what it really means to be healed by God. Because sometimes the healing that God brings isn't to be sickness-free in this life, but it's to be sickness-free forever in glory where angels are. Uncle Jimmy was healed the day that he died. Because when he woke up, there were no more respirators and no more feeding tubes. And from that day forward until this day and forevermore, all my Uncle Jimmy will ever know is the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And he will never struggle to breathe again. And that is better than a few extra years on earth. Because to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And the Apostle Paul said, I would rather be away from this body and at home with the Lord, for that is better. So the problem with the prosperity gospel, which actually is no gospel because it's not good news, but the problem with the so said prosperity gospel is that it's not nearly prosperous enough, actually. Because God loves his children too much to just give us our best life now. God's going to give his children our best life forever. And that is better than any Cadillac. And that is better than any beach. And that is better than any health. And that is better than anything in this world. So it's not necessarily that God doesn't heal his children. It's just that sometimes he gives us a greater and more permanent healing than we've even asked for. I think about Lazarus, who died, and Jesus raised him from the dead. And yet later on, Lazarus died again. Brothers and sisters, God sometimes chooses to heal in this life. But if something don't get us, something else will. And so if you are here this morning and you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, your greatest need is not physical healing. Your greatest need is the forgiveness of your sins, that you may live forever in glory. But not only that, sometimes God's answer to our prayers in times of suffering is not Him delivering us from a bad situation, but it's Him actually giving us the grace to endure that difficult situation with peace and joy in our hearts. Sometimes in our worst moments of pain and suffering, that is when the presence of Jesus Christ is the sweetest. The grace to experience the comfort of Christ, even when we're going through hell. I was reading this week in my quiet time in the book of Daniel. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown into the fire by the evil ruler. And yet they learned that Jesus Christ is the fourth man in the fire. Jesus didn't keep them out of the fire. He went into the fire with them. Jesus never promised us we would not walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but He has promised you, child of God, that He will carry you as you go through it. Think about that old hymn my mama used to sing. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. Remember this one? But I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Jesus says in verse 22, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. In just a few moments, in obedience to James chapter 5, where the Bible calls for the elders or the pastors of the church to anoint with oil and pray over the sick, we're going to do that. We're going to ask any of you that are weak and weary, whether that's physically or emotionally or otherwise, to come forward. And we're going to pray and we're going to ask the Lord to heal you. But before we make that transition, I've got a fear that some of us, myself included, are prone to overcorrect from everything I've said in the last 23 minutes. There's no doubt that some have abused this teaching of Jesus Christ, and we know that it is not always God's will to heal everyone in this life. However, brothers and sisters in Christ, let's be careful not to overcorrect from some of the abuses we've seen in these verses, and in doing so, we take the power out of the words of Christ. What Jesus Christ is emphatically calling us to in verse 22 is to have great faith that can really move great mountains. Jesus is saying to us without qualification, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Let's not try to take the edge off of this promise because we're afraid of being like Benny Hinn. Let's not try to put a seatbelt on the Holy Spirit, because it may be that the Holy Spirit longs today to come and meet with us in great power and do things that will blow our little skeptical minds. And sometimes God says the only reason we have not is because we ask not. It's as though when I read verse 22, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. It's as though Jesus Christ is leaning forward. And there's all this power stored up in heaven in a warehouse. And it's as though God is just waiting to release power upon the earth. The same power that created the world. The same power that raised Lazarus from the dead. The same power that parted the Red Seas. that same power is still available, because Hebrews says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. But sometimes it's as though that power being released from heaven is contingent upon our prayers and our faith. Now, some of you are thinking that's entirely contradictory to everything you said in the first 23 minutes. Because we're thinking, James, if God is sovereign, how do our prayers and our faith affect what God's going to do? This is something the Lord has showed me over the past several years, and I want all of us to embrace this. Brothers and sisters, there is a tension in the Bible. There is an innate, mysterious nature to the workings of God. And the relationship between God's divine sovereignty and human influence and human responsibility, it is a mystery that our minds cannot fully grasp this side of glory. And you just got to be okay with that. Is God sovereign, or do our prayers move mountains? Yes to both. That made me think of a country music moment of the week. Been failing y'all recently. I'm going to try to go see him, Lord willing, in October. Kentucky boy, Chris Stapleton. I work out to him. I'm in there doing dumbbells, you know, curling my 10 pounds. And Annie walks in, she says, how in the world do you work out to that? Well, when you listen to Broken Halos by Chris Stapleton, can I get a witness? All of a sudden, daddy's curling 15s, moving on up to 20s. Stapleton reminds me of Cash in that his theology is pretty good. He sings this song, Broken Halos. Here's what Stapleton says. He says, don't go looking for the reasons. Don't go asking Jesus why. We're not meant to know the answers. They belong to the by and by. Brothers and sisters, there's just some things that belong to the by and by. But, church, we pray because Jesus commands us to pray. And Jesus tells us that when we pray with faith, mountains can be moved. So what we know for sure is that God is sovereign, but what we also know for sure is that God has chosen prayer and faith as an instrument by which he often moves that hand that moves mountains. And when people pray, things really do change. The tension, especially if you got a high view of the sovereignty of God, we can pray with full expectation and faith. God, you're going to heal Uncle Jimmy. Believe it. But we know that God may not choose to answer our prayer in the way that we would like. We don't doubt that God can do it. But we humbly acknowledge that sometimes God's will is different and better than ours. This is how Jesus modeled prayer for us. It was in the most tumultuous experience of his life, besides the crucifixion itself, the night before he died, when God in heaven kind of peeled back and showed Jesus the wrath of God that was about to be dumped on him on the cross, and it scared Jesus to death. And so Jesus prayed in Matthew 26. He fell on his face, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup, which symbolized the judgment and wrath of God for the sins of the world, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. We're going to pray for the miraculous this morning. I'm going to pray for some of you to be healed. What we are not saying when we pray is, God, if you don't do this, you're not good. It's not what we're saying. What we are saying is, God, we know you can heal this sister. But Lord, even if you don't, you're still good and your will is best. But there's a danger even in that, that I think our church in particular needs to consider before we lay hands and pray. This is what God kept leading to me this week. Brothers and sisters, it is possible for us to pray in great faith and not doubt while humbly submitting to the will of God. But sometimes I fear we overqualify our prayers. And in doing so, we actually gut them of the power they could have. Sometimes we might be asking God to do something huge, but internally we just kind of assume he's not going to do it. We'll pray something so big, but then we'll end the prayer with, but Lord, we know this may not be your will. Now, those words are biblical. Jesus prayed that way. But I'm not sure that our mindset and our faith behind those words is always biblical. For some of us, when we overqualify every single big prayer with, but may your will be done, it might be our subconscious way of saying to God, God, I'm going to say the prayer, but I don't really think you're going to do it. When I read Matthew chapter 21 and so many other teachings in the Word of God, I just don't think that's how Jesus is calling us to pray. I think Jesus is saying here in his word, pray big prayers and stop all the doubting. He says, I say to you in verse 21, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. I believe God is calling us this morning to be freed up from restrictive prayers. That God is calling us to stop overqualifying everything in the name of our theology, and that we would just pray freely with no strings attached, with no safety goggles, with no helmet, with no gloves, that we would just take this seatbelt off of our prayers and beg God to come. Because he's a big God, and he can handle our big, free, unrestricted prayers. Right before I walked in here for the second service, a sister grabbed me in tears. She says, Jameis, I've had to work the past 6 Sundays, and this is the first Sunday I've been off. She said, I limped into this church with such debilitating pain in my left foot. It's excruciating. She came down one of these aisles, and some of the pastors and dear women of God prayed for her, and she is pain-free. And she ain't limping out. She danced out of this church this morning. You ask our very own Jim Taylor about the power of God. A few years ago, that brother was all but dead in the hospital. All of his organs were shutting down. He had been given, medically speaking, no hope for survival. Dear Miss Phyllis was rightly told, from a human perspective, you in all likelihood won't leave this hospital with your husband alive. people of God started praying. And the power of God descended into that critical care unit. And Jim Taylor sat up out of the bed and he walked out of the hospital. And he is 85 years old and he is as healthy and strong as he's been in years. Pleasant Valley, if God can do it for Jim, he can do it for anyone. It is not a question of if. It is only a question of in humility. Oh God, would you rend the heavens and show your power that we may believe? If you're here this morning and you are sick, and by sick, I mean physically, emotionally, mentally, slave to sin, demonic opposition, anxiety, depression, pain, whatever it may be, in obedience to the word of God, we're going to ask you in just a moment to step out of your seat and come forward and to be prayed for. Because James 5 says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders. This means pastors of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. The oil just represents the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't be freaked out by that. It's biblical. In the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. We're going to obey the word of God and ask God for faith. We're going to ask him to move mountains. I'm going to ask our musicians and our helpers to come forward. Ask our ushers, if you would, brothers, to come grab your clipboards and stand in the middle of these three aisles. I'm going to ask our sisters that are going to help to move to their places as well. While they're doing that, I'm going to pray for us, and then I'll give us further instruction. I'm going to ask some of you now, if you would, to begin to pray with me. If you're not going to come forward for healing yourself, we're going to open up this altar that you would come on your knees before the Lord. If you feel led, and cover this altar, praying for those who will be coming. You can go in and move in this direction now. If you feel led to do that, you can pray from where you are. If you feel led of God to get on your face under your seat and pray, you have that freedom. There's freedom here to pray as you feel led. Lord Jesus Christ, you rule and reign the world. Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize your authority over every single atom and molecule and cell on planet Earth and in every human body. Lord Jesus Christ, we believe you have the authority to speak, and all of creation has no recourse but to bow the knee to your word. Oh, Lord Jesus, our faith is so feeble. We need and want to see your power. So God in heaven, Spirit, Father, Son, we in faith take off the seatbelt and all of our overqualifications and restrictions, and we just want to see mountains moved. Jesus, would you come? You're welcome here. We're not afraid of your power. We need it. Oh God, help us believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.